You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, Callie Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It is the first Friday of our statewide text to win contest. Up for grabs, we have a four-pack of Brewers tickets, club-level seats, really nice seats. Here's what you need to do. Grab your phone, open up the Civic Media app, and text in the word PLAY, P-L-A-Y. You have until 11 o'clock this morning to text in the word PLAY, P-L-A-Y, and then you're in the running for that four-pack of crew tickets. Your next chance will be in the Tom Hartman Show from 11 to 2, then Todd Alba from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 p.m. But right now, the word you want to text in via the Civic Media app is the word PLAY, P-L-A-Y, just like Ronnie in Horicon and Peter in New London and Kirk from Eau Claire. Love to see the entries coming in. Caesar in Madison. Text in the word PLAY, P-L-A-Y. You have until 11 o'clock. And again, we are playing for a four-pack of Brewers tickets for next Friday.
Next Friday against the Twins.
Against the Twins. Joining us, as he always does on Fridays, Civic Media's political editor and the creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer, is here. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Friday to the good folks of Matinair on Air and all of your great listeners. How are you guys doing? It's Friday. You making it through?
We are making it through. Happy it's Friday. Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful day.
Yeah.
And should be a beautiful weekend as well. But not a big surprise, I guess, after the Republicans got a hold of the budget suggested by Governor Tony Evers, that they stripped out everything essentially except for the word the and.
And even that, you know,
they had to take a couple of those out, it became a debate.
Yeah. But, you know, yeah, this is, we're in the season now where the budget process in the state of Wisconsin, where the rubber really is about to meet the road here.
Yeah.
So we had, you know, the governor's budget proposal from a couple months ago. We had listening sessions with the Joint Finance Committee at a number of sites throughout the state. And now this week, the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee, a 12-4 committee that includes members of both the Assembly and the Senate,
right,
had their executive session yesterday afternoon. And in it, as expected, they essentially gutted the governor's entire budget
proposal.
Pretty much. So they put out this list when they scheduled the meeting, you know, the 48 hours before, or whatever they're required to do. And they just had a long list of these 600-plus items that they would be removing from the budget. So I think after, you know, we're in the back half of Tony Evers' second term here. So we're accustomed to this era of divided government. Mm-hmm. And it just seems like we're replaying things over and over, because it has happened every time where the governor has put forth a budget proposal and Republicans basically vote the entire thing down.
They light it on fire.
Yeah.
Essentially.
It seems like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like this is just further punishment for Fair Maps, because when Fair Maps came along, a lot of Republicans who didn't have to work for their districts and work for those seats got tossed out or didn't run. And then what they did was they decided they were going to try to legislate through Wisconsin constitutional amendments.
Mm-hmm.
And then they changed the makeup of certain committees in Madison. So there were far more Republicans than there were Democrats. And I think the Joint Finance Committee was one of them.
That has been 12-4 throughout the whole time, yeah.
But it's this.
But it's this
constant thing of like, we didn't win, you will never win. Or yeah. I mean, they did win; they're still in charge,
right?
But now it just seems blatant and adversarial, and with some sort of like tinge of, yeah, we're gonna make you hurt.
Well, and I guess what amazes me is the lack of shame among the Joint Finance Committee. They held four listening sessions across the state. Mm-hmm. Some of them went on for hours. Yeah. We have one listener who waited for 9 hours to be able to make comments. And then we had an article yesterday from our civic media news team talking about the top three things that were the most important to the people who were showed up at those joint finance committee meetings.
Yeah.
It was child care. These are things we've always talked about.
Yeah.
And we have these guys on the Joint Finance Committee who sit there and listen to this. And then, like they always do, they go back and they gut all of them.
Yep. Yeah. You're absolutely right. The top three items that they heard from in these Joint Finance Committee listening sessions were healthcare,
yes,
education, and
childcare.
Those are the top three. Those are your kitchen table issues. Mm-hmm. Like for all the people who are talking about how Democrats want woke this and woke that, the people who showed up to say something about this were talking about healthcare, public education, and childcare. Perhaps not coincidentally, we've had contributors at the Recombobulation Area write pieces about those three very issues over the last couple of weeks. So check those out from Emily Cephos, Tim Krulch, Tim Faust and the rest of the crew at the Recombobulation Area. So go check that out. Corrine Hendrickson was the child care provider.
Just talked to her this week.
Yeah. She's been on the civic media airways a number of times. These are clearly big issues. You know, there were nods to, at least on the, when it comes to childcare, there were nods to funding childcare from assembly, Republicans and candidates who in some of these swing districts where this became a big issue. I know Bob Donovan, who defeated Lou Anne Bird by a slim margin in that race, was talking about wanting to fund childcare in some of his campaign messaging. Will that actually come to fruition? We'll see. But I do think because we have these tighter margins, it is going to put the bullseye on some of these legislators who, it's going to be incumbent on us to watch what these votes or how these legislators are voting on these certain issues. But it's, they're going to have to defend these in 2026 in what might be not the greatest political environment for Republicans on the ballot.
Well, and that's the other thing, too, is Bob Donovan, great example, because he said, I want to fund child care. But just like we're seeing with Derek Van Orten in the third, he's saying, SNAP benefits will not be reduced by a nickel, then he votes for the budget blueprint. And so I feel like now what it is, you say, I will support these kitchen table items. But then when the rubber hits the road, they say, well, there's nothing I can do about it.
Well, but that's the same thing that they've done with mental health.
Yeah. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
How many years now? Mm-hmm. Every time we have another mass shooting, it's not the guns, it's mental health. But when it comes to actually funding mental health, they're nowhere to be seen.
No.
Yeah, and you go through this list of 600 plus things. There are items on mental health. There is items on lead poisoning. Each one of these could be its own story. I feel like there are like 600 stories to be told here. They're just like Republicans said no to legalizing marijuana. Republicans said no to housing initiatives. The Republicans said no to veterans healthcare. All these different kinds of things that were in the proposal for the budget. And I think to a certain extent there's like an aspirational type of quality with this that Governor Evers is putting certain things out there.
He shoots pretty high sometimes.
Sure. But it also gets to the point where you have to come. The Republicans have just so stubbornly refused to come to the center and negotiate on any of this. Like they have to go through the motions and do this every time. But they could do this differently. They could take more pieces of the governor's budget proposal and actually have the argument instead of just like, we're getting rid of everything and building it on our own, and then putting the onus on Evers to use his partial veto powers and then criticizing those partial veto powers.
Yes.
And one thing I mentioned when Corrine Hendrickson was here a couple days ago, these are also great items from a politician standpoint to take home. Like, hey, we have a lead problem here in our county, because this is not a Milwaukee thing. This is a statewide thing.
Mm-hmm.
The PFAS thing is a statewide thing.
I'm fighting to make sure that we are getting the money we need to take care of these problems. I love veterans. They all love veterans on 9/11, Veterans Day, Patriots Day, whatever they want. These are items that if I was a voter in those counties or those, like, why did you vote against these things? My husband is a vet. My grandpa was a vet. We have lead problems. We have PFAS. Why did you vote against this? Why are you not helping us? And these are simple items you can go home to your constituents with and say, hey, we're doing the good work, but we're mindful of spending, but we're still taking care of you. Instead of just this wholesale gutting, where you're just like, no, maybe we'll let you get paper clips.
It's so frustrating. It is. And it's just the lack of change throughout this. Like, I know it's a lot of the same people in leadership. It's Robin Voss is still the assembly speaker. It's a lot of the same people. It's Howard Markline. Yep. It's the same people who have been there for a long time. But at some point, don't you think, like, Republicans keep losing in statewide races if it's not Donald Trump on the ballot, basically, right?
Yeah.
And so wouldn't at some point these legislators recognize that, hey, we have to do something for the people of Wisconsin or else we're going to get voted out. We're going to keep losing races for governor. We're going to keep losing races for attorney general. We're going to keep losing races for Wisconsin Supreme Court. Like, at some point, don't they recognize that stuff like this, stuff like the gavel in, gavel out, the stubborn refusal to ever even have the conversation with the other side, I think is really hurting them politically, in addition to hurting the state and the people of the state.
If you're just joining us, Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the founder of the Recombobulation Area, talking about the Republicans essentially gutting Governor Evers' entire proposed budget. I think part of the problem, though, Dan, is, and we talk about people staying in their own bubbles, and I think for Republican lawmakers in particular, they really live in bubbles. And when people show up at these Joint Finance Committee hearings, I think they've got themselves convinced that these are outliers, that these people are outliers, and they're all being paid by George Soros. I know lots of people are waiting for checks. I do think that some of them really genuinely believe that.
I think you're right. I mean, I grew up in a very right-wing part of the state, and there's no place where the bubble is thicker than that part of the state when you just it's such an insular way of looking at the world and looking at the state and looking at our politics. And I do think, you know, you're right. They probably just see the people showing up at these events and they're just like, are the people who are around at like 10:30 on a Friday morning or whatever.
You must be a moocher and a leech if you don't have a job and you can show up at these meetings that we hold during the day.
Right, right. But if you're, you know, if you're holding a certain kind of flag, you're going to be a patriot in the middle of the day for these things.
That's
too,
different rules.
Different rules.
Different rules.
Yeah.
I think to go back to what you said about, you know, why are they acting like this in the time when they get, you know, voted out when Donald Trump isn't on the ballot. I think it's because they just don't care. And it's harder to work and do the work and get to know your constituents and the issues that they face than to actually. So they're going to kick and scream until they're gone.
Yeah.
And then when they're gone, they're going to say it was a woke America, a woke Wisconsin that got rid of us. It was rigged, blah, blah, blah. Because, I mean, All those people who dropped out of their races when the fair maps came along, they knew the writing on the wall. They knew they weren't going to be able to charm their way back into their seats. They left because they're like, oh, this is work now? I think it has to do everything with they really don't care about – they don't care about the people. They care about the power, and they're going to hold on to it with every last breath they have without having to do the actual work to keep it.
So. Well, here's another piece of this, too. There is a divide that WisPolitics has reported on about, like, the Republicans wanting to pass their main priority, which is a tax cut, as a separate bill. And Evers wants it to be in the budget.
Right.
So the difference there is that, like, if Republicans pass their tax cut, what's the onus on them to actually even pass a budget? Because they don't want to even do any of these 600-plus things that the governor wants to do.
We're going
to
continue our conversation with Dan Schaefer. Keep it right here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in New Zealand on the app.
Yeah.
Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Caliente on the board coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us and you can leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We got baseball action coming up in about an hour. Our broadcast starts at 11:35. The crew at the Tampa Bay Rays. You can listen to the game, but you have to listen to actual terrestrial radio. Mm-hmm. WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward. The Rays hosting the crews. The crew, our broadcast starts on those stations at 11:35. Right now, our friend and colleague and social media, Civic Media's political editor, it's Friday, words are hard, Dan Schaefer is here. Also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. We were talking about what's left in Governor Evers' budget, not much. We also wanted to talk a little bit about the new challenge to congressional maps that has happened just this week.
Actually, two challenges that WisPolitics was reporting about another one this morning. So there are now two challenges asking the Wisconsin Supreme Court to overturn the congressional maps. Now, of course, about a year and a half ago or whatever, they overturned the legislative maps.
Right.
That was a much bigger deal. Those were much more egregiously gerrymandered. The violations to the state constitution were much more apparent. But the congressional maps are now being challenged yet again. This also happened, after Janet Protasiewicz was seated. When they brought those challenges forth for the legislative maps, the Supreme Court declined to hear the case on the congressional maps at the time. Now, I haven't quite seen as much on the second of the two challenges or whatever, but the first one that made headlines yesterday from Mark Elias and his legal team, it seems pretty much the same as the challenge that the Supreme Court refused to hear 2 years ago or whatever it is. The only difference, I guess, being is that the court ruling on the legislative maps essentially ruled that the least change principle upon which these maps were drawn is BS, which it is.
In so many
words.
It
is a completely manufactured nonsense term. The Wisconsin Constitution and the portion that applies to redistricting says after every decade or however they use it with the phrasing, they will apportion and district anew. Least change, district anew. So that is a completely invented nonsense term that the then conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court used to bake in gerrymandered maps
essentially
for another 10 years. So, so you will hear now some right wingers say, hey, these are Tony Evers' maps. Well, they are technically, yes, but they were drawn under the rules of saying you need to have these least change maps, which those are nonsense. So challenging the least change makes sense, but I also do wonder if the same challenge coming from the same group that was that the Wisconsin Supreme Court refused to hear 2 years ago, if they hear it now, does that affect people's trust in the court?
Fair question.
Fair question.
Dan, I would like you to explain for people who are listening the legislative. What is the difference between the legislative maps and the congressional maps?
Okay,
because it sounds like, aren't they the same thing?
I thought we just did all the maps
exactly,
a year ago.
Exactly.
So we have the state legislative maps. We have the 99 districts of the Wisconsin State Assembly and the 33 districts of the Wisconsin State Senate. So these are, the state capital, the state budget, those things that we're talking about. The congressional maps, those are federal. So those are eight federal congressional districts, are eight members of Congress, which currently is broken down 6 Republicans and just 2 Democrats. So I think part of the challenge that and I think this is more than a fair point is saying that, like, hey, we have a 50-50 state in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't we have maps that more closely reflect that instead of having a map that looks more like a deep red state where you have this 6-2 imbalance? And then you have, really the two districts are just kind of the Madison and Milwaukee
right.
Area districts represent with Democratic representation. So, and again, I think, you know, the state legislature, it was so much more obvious how gerrymandered those were. You know, the third congressional district, you know, it was held by Ron Kind. Derek Van Orden flipped it. It was a close race last year. I think, you know, Rebecca Cook or whoever the candidate might
ends
be,
has being,
even on the current maps, I think has a decent chance. You know, that I think some of the smart prognosticators have put this in toss-up territory, given that Cook ran a really strong race 2 years ago. And then the first district is another one. That is like in the kind of more closely competitive race. This is held by Brian Stile. This is kind of like southern and southeastern Wisconsin.
Janesville.
We are in the first congressional district mm-hmm. right now here right. at Radio yeah. Park and Racine.
Right.
And so this is, you know, that was Paul Ryan's old district. You know, Stile has consistently overperformed, and even as last cycle, Peter Barca had some funding from the national groups and all of that. So I do think you do have to recognize like some of the on the ground realities of what's happening in some of these districts to recognize why it is 6-2. Now, a couple of the other ones that I do think are problematic is just like you have some like, and I've written a lot about the Fox Valley and its importance statewide. The Fox Valley is currently split by the current congressional map. So Oshkosh is in a district represented by Glenn Grothman, and Appleton is in a district represented by Tony Weed. I think those cities in the Fox Valley should be part of one cohesive district, but then you get into challenges like, okay, what does it take away? Who gets these other seats? And then, you know, it's a complicated process.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Going.
Are you recombobulated yet?
We're getting recombobulated.
Getting recombobulated.
I was less than I was before. So
we will continue recombobulating with Civic Media's political editor, Dan Schaefer, after the bottom of the hour news. Making movies in Wisconsin. We'll talk about that next. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once I get strapped in the 210, wheels up and we'll be rocking. Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. Recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Caliente on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. One correction for you. We do have coverage of today's Brewers Rays game happening in Florida, but the game starts at, our coverage starts rather at 5:35.
Correct. Game is at 6:05.
6:05 tonight. Again, the crew at Tampa Bay Rays, our coverage starting about 5:35 today on certain stations across the network. Also, you have until 11 o'clock to text in the word play, P-L-A-Y, text in the word play, via the Civic Media app. It's your chance to pick up a 4-pack of Brewers tickets to next Friday's game. It is a statewide text to win contest. Your next shot, you'll have a different word mm-hmm. in the following show. So Tom Hartman will have a different word from 11 to 2. Todd Alba then from 2 to 4. And Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But right now, you want to text in the word play, P-L-A-Y, for a shot at those that 4-pack of Brewers tickets. Nice seats.
Nice, comfy, cushy seats.
Nice, cushy seats. Carol from Anawa just entered. We have Michelle in Wisconsin Rapids. TJ in Green Bay. Thank you for those entries. Keep them coming in. Text in the word play, P-L-A-Y, up until 11 o'clock today. He joins us every Friday. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi-award-winning Recombobulation Area. There's a measure out trying to encourage more movie makers to come to Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's
it actually
that
has
like
some bipartisan support on this one, too. How
whoa.
About that?
We can agree on this?
What?
I know. It's crazy. But there is a bill making its way through the Wisconsin state legislature that would build in some tax credits for people making movies in the state of Wisconsin, which used to be the case several years ago.
I was
going to
say,
do you guys remember the movie? It was called Public Enemies.
I do.
Yes, I do.
Johnny Depp.
With Johnny Depp.
Yes. And
so that movie was being made when I was a student at UW Oshkosh. So big chunks of like downtown Oshkosh were like movie sets. Mm-hmm. And we may or may not have, will not confirm or deny that we walked home from the bars through those movie sets pretty regularly my last year at college. That was a lot of fun to just be walking through movie sets at 2 a.m.
I know they shot in Milwaukee as well. Like
they did shoot.
In the Third Ward area.
Right.
Downtown. So,
but
yeah.
I mean, they shot Major League here.
Yeah.
But yeah. But the Public Enemy is really like the last big one, except unless you want to count 1,000 or 100 beavers or how many.
Hundreds of beavers.
Lots of beavers. There were many, many beavers.
So many beavers.
Yeah. And then just, you know, just like a bunch of other harrowing documentaries and things like that.
Yeah.
Right.
Been produced
right.
About Wisconsin. But I think this is a good thing. I think they're, you know, introducing this. And I think this is something that people have wanted. Like, I think there are some statistics about how Wisconsin is one of the lowest levels in the country of any state for funding any form of arts and culture in its state budget. And so I think this would be a good thing. I think this is something we could probably agree on. The bill was introduced by Republicans, but has Democratic co-sponsors at this point. It had a public hearing this week in the Assembly. And, you know, this was something that Tony Evers also proposed something similarly in his state budget. I think overall it caps these credits at about $10 million a year. So not a huge sum of money total that would go to this. But, you know, I think this is a good step to getting us started and getting something back going with that. Right.
I mean, this is a change, though, to me, because I'm surprised it's Republicans, because a few years ago, when they tried to do this, they were just like, no, it was an absolute no, we're not going to create tax credits for movies. I mean, if you want one example, just one example of what credits for movies can do, Georgia. They film, I think, every Marvel property is filmed in some way in Georgia. They have created a movie. I mean, Pinewood Studios in England, the famous Pinewood Studios, Let It Be, the James Bond movie, all filmed there. They have a Georgia
satellite office
there. They make movies. Pinewood Studios makes movies in Georgia. You watch a movie and you see a big peach says Georgia. It's because they filmed in Georgia, and it brings jobs.
Yes.
Whoa.
Lots of jobs.
It brings economic influx. It builds up communities. It absolutely builds up communities. There's no reason. I've never understood why. And there's other states too. There's other states as well. They're like, no, we don't want to do this. What do you have to lose? You get the attention. It's great. I mean, it's a job creator. Why not do this?
Well, and now it seems like we have some bipartisan agreement that this would be a good thing.
Yeah, it's actually going somewhere. Believe it or not, things can happen in the state of Wisconsin and our state government.
But there's still got to be someone who's going to come out screeching about, why would we give woke Hollywood a break to bring their filth here? You know that's going to come from somebody.
You know it's going to come from somebody for sure.
Yeah, right?
But I think, you know, they're also creating, and it's another thing, they're like looking to create something called the State Film Office, which, you know, some people don't always like creating additional layers of bureaucracy in the state. So that's, you know, something to think about too. But, you know, covering a certain level of production expenses for somebody who wants to make a movie in Wisconsin, I think that'd be a good thing.
Well, and this involves video game industry as well.
That one's actually a separate bill. So they're not only also introduced by a Republican, I believe State Senator Pat Teston was putting this one forward. Creating similar tax breaks for those creating video games in the state of Wisconsin.
That's huge industry, man.
It is a huge industry, and it brings, you know, the type of tech workers that Wisconsin has really struggled to bring, you know, develop those types of industries in the state to Wisconsin. And I wrote an article years and years ago about this in my past, one of my past lives as a business news reporter. But I think there's a couple offices in Madison that are part of like the company that makes Call of Duty or something like that. I'm blanking on the names. I'm not a gamer. I apologize. I do think there is like some level of presence for that industry here. Mm-hmm. And again, I think it would be a good thing. It's not a huge investment. It's similarly like, you know, capped at a certain type of level. It would cover like, you know, a 30% of wages and production costs or something like that. But again, that would be a good thing.
It would. Absolutely.
And bipartisan, you always love to hear that word. My only My only fear is that, I'm sorry to sound very cynical, but when Republicans bring forth things like this that have to do with the arts, I always want to know what the language is. I always want to know, because it just seems weird that out of nowhere, all of a sudden they want to propose tax credits for movies and for video game producers. I'm like, why? Why? Well,
you're always waiting for the catch. You're waiting for the other shoe.
Sure. Yeah.
But now we have John Voight and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Not Arnold. It's Sylvester Stallone. And who else did Trump tap?
Oh, I know who you're talking
to
about.
To be they're going to remake Hollywood, right?
Make Hollywood great again or whatever it is. Yeah.
And all that woke entertainment stuff.
Yeah, that's right. We have to dictate what type of art you can make.
Exactly.
That's good.
I love, just love freedom. Don't you guys love freedom, especially freedom for businesses? I love freedom for businesses to do what they want. Who talks about that all the time? Oh, yeah, Republicans.
Do you feel like this is a pretty good chance to pass?
I think it does. Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of opposition to it. You know, whether it passes as a standalone bill or they put it into the state budget, like that could be, part of whatever negotiations they have going forward. But it looked like there was some pretty positive feedback at a public hearing, at least for the film production tax credit this week. I saw positive response from both Democrats and Republicans in that. And again, it has, it was introduced by Republicans and it has Democratic co-sponsors. I see Chris Larson, Mark Spreitzer, Brad Paff, a number of state senators have signed on as co-sponsors for that one. So
that would be great.
Hey, let's get something done.
It really would. We have so many different areas in Wisconsin, I think, that are so different in how they look.
Yeah.
That we just have a wealth of opportunities for movie makers here.
Well, and maybe if they had more Wisconsin people, you wouldn't run into these pitfalls like you saw with that one Craig T. Nelson movie that you had that huge problem with. With the gutters.
No one would do that.
Gutters and ladders. Why are you doing this, Dan? Why are you bringing this back up again? What are you?
No, self-respecting Wisconsinite would have done
As I was bringing that up, Jane was smiling and Greg was like, oh no.
I know someone we could actually have a really nice discussion about with this. This is Pete Schwabba too. He's talked about this fact that he says that he has said in discussions, I think with us, that lack of tax credit, lack of opportunity, lack of buy-in from the state government causes artists to either not produce their art or to seek it elsewhere, go to other states that are like, hey, come here. And I just want to have, I don't know about Minnesota, but I just want to have something that makes Minnesota go, oh, Wisconsin's kind of cool, because they have everything right now.
Troy from Onhora asks, is Voss going to allow a vote on that?
I mean, probably. If he's allowed it to go
this
to
far.
Public hearing. He's allowed it to go to public hearing and have advance in the process. I love how that we're all just approaching this just like, is this actually going to happen?
Yes.
What's the thing? Is Voss going to block this at the very end?
Well, again.
And it's all not without reason.
Exactly. We're all looking at it. Where's the catch?
Yeah.
Yep.
Where's the catch?
Calvin said that Raven Software is the developer in Madison. And also PJ said, between the two of them, they said Call of Duty, Doom, and the other game I think was Quake video games. So they've worked on those video games. But that's still
huge industry.
Some big names.
It's a huge. Yeah, those are huge. I've heard of all three of those games.
Yeah. So have I. I haven't played any of them, but
Dan Schaefer is here, Civic Media's political editor and also the creator of the multi award-winning Recombobulation Area. In the minutes that we have left, any reactions about the selection of Pope Leo XIV as the new pontiff?
You know, I always look for a Wisconsin connection in these. Whenever there's a big national story, global story, any story, really, there's always a Wisconsin connection.
6 degrees of.
It's, we are somehow the nexus of the universe in certain ways. So when it was announced that the Pope was born in Chicago, I, of course, was making a lot of jokes about Chicago, as so many people were.
Many.
Chicago produced a Pope before they ever got a good quarterback.
But a bunch.
All of these different things. But I saw there was a news story that some people were going through his background and his bio and, anything you can find about this guy. All the reporters looking for the local angle. And I saw that Channel 12 in Milwaukee found an article that said his journey included a time when he served as a teacher as the Augustinian Novitiate in Oconomowoc.
Ah.
Whoa.
Oconomowoc.
There it is,
the
folks.
The Newt Pope was a teacher in Waukesha County, cool. My homeland.
Mine too. Cool.
Did I cross paths with the new Pope at like the Kilty in Oconomowoc? It's possible because it sounds like he was also there in the early 2000s. Bob, so, you know.
Bob, have you met our son, Dan? He's a good kid. He's at the school. He's doing really well. He wants to be a writer. Hello, sir. That's you. That's my head. You met a guy named Bob.
That's right. Bob, the White Sox fan.
I love that he's a Sox fan because there's nothing I love more than denying Chicagoans happiness.
It's just been... I'm sorry.
Oh, no. I know they were thinking, oh, yeah, Cubs all the way. No, Southside, get over it.
It's just been so interesting to see some of the memes and and he is a...
I've been having some fun on the platform formerly known as Twitter on this one. The Pope Mobile just cut you off on 94. there's a non-zero chance that the new Pope has been to the Lake Forest Oasis.
Oh, that was good.
You know, I'm just reading my own jokes at this point. But, you know, we're all like, this is one of the rare times that Twitter is actually a fun place, is what people are making, just riffing
like
on
it. Like it used to be. Like it used to be.
I mean, honestly, it's just, I'm kind of excited to see where he'll go. It seems like he's a good man.
Yeah.
At this point, approaching it gingerly.
Shout out to the Pope. Yes. Chicago Pope. Da Pope.
Props to the Pope. Props to the Pope. I'm sure that means a lot. I'm sure that means a lot to him. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor, is subscribed to the Recombobulation Area. Thanks so much, Dan. We'll see you next Friday.
Thank you.
Stay with us. We're going to wrap it all up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Tanks for the Memories edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, resident young person Calvin on the board, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You have about 7.5 minutes left to text in via the Civic Media app. Text in the word play.
Play.
P-L-A-Y. Text in the word play via the Civic Media app. We have a 4-pack of Brewers tickets up for grabs. Anne-Marie in Brookfield, you may want to type it again. You got Clay that came in. The word is play. P-L-A-Y. Text in the word play before 11 o'clock, and you are in the running for that 4-pack of Brewers tickets for next Friday. Your next chance with a different word will be during the Tom Hartman Show from 11 to 2, then Todd Alba from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. But right now, the word you want to text in via the Civic Media app only, the word to text in is play, P-L-A-Y. Coming up next week on Monday, James Causey from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel is going to join us to talk about reckless driving in Milwaukee. And he and his wife were recently caught in the middle of a high-speed chase. I can't imagine how terrifying it was, but he's got some pretty strong opinions about what he thinks should be done in order to crack down on what is an epidemic and has been an epidemic in Milwaukee for quite a while.
I'll have some questions about outside of Milwaukee, because while Milwaukee has its own brand of reckless driving, I live in Kenosha and I see
it. You see the same thing too.
Yeah.
But, you know, when they're doing all these bump outs and other things to try and make people slow down, James Causey has some other ideas. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that coming up on Monday. And then Emma Schatz will be here with really important news.
We only break the most important news on Matt and Aaron here. That's why we won all the awards.
Well, no, we didn't. Fat Bird Week. Today's your final day to vote, you guys.
Honk if you love chonk.
Honk if you love chonk. Emma will be here with the winner of Fat Bird Week coming up on Monday. I know you don't want to miss that. And it's a great fundraiser as
well. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
So it's getting late. It's 11:55. Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Here's the headline from Newsweek. World War II veteran runs tank over Tesla. A World War II veteran rolled a tank over a Tesla in a video stunt by a British activist group. They are not fans of Elon Musk. Calvin, I believe we have a clip from this 98-year-old World War II veteran. Let's play that clip, please.
My name is Ken Turner, and I'm 98 years old, and I've served in the British Army in World War II, as did this Sherman tank. I'm old enough to have seen fascism the first time around. Now it's coming back. Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, is using his immense power to support the far right in Europe. And his money comes from Tesla cars. Well, I've got this message from Mr. Musk. We've crushed fascism before, and we'll crush it again. So let's go. Shall we?
Shall we? It starts like a lawnmower.
And he fires up the tank, and he drives over a Tesla.
I mean, God, I love the English so much. All of that, I mean, that man fought against Hitler. Maybe one of the most, I don't like using the word lightly, evil, horrible people who ever traversed this globe.
Yep.
So to see what's happening now happening again, less than 100 years after he fought, all the rage he must be feeling encapsulated in a tiny English man. Shall we?
He's 98 years old and he still drives that tank like he's a young man.
I know.
I mean, it's pretty amazing. We will include the link so you can watch the video because there is a video element involved with this. Again, the guy's 98 years old.
Kenneth Tada. Oh.
And this was sponsored by a group called, I'm trying to find it here, led by donkeys. It is an anti-fascism protest group originally formed to campaign against Britain's Conservative Party. So that is the group that sponsored Ken, 98 years old, World War II veteran, still knows how to drive a tank.
Jane, shall we? I just love that he said that.
Shall we? Take a look at it. We'll get it in the show notes after the show is over. That wraps up today's episode of...
Whoa.
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever have a thing you think should not be, as always, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. And you still got 2 minutes. Text in the word play. Well done, Anne-Marie from Brookfield. You got it right.
Good.
The word is play. P-L-A-Y, playing for a 4-pack of tickets to see the Brewers. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it. News is coming up next, so stay here. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you on Monday.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community.
Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.